parsha from. There is a comment of the Gaon of Vilna, his commentary to the book of Mishlei. In Mishlei, we know that King Solomon wrote parables that had tremendous amounts of insight packed into short sentences. So King Solomon said, Chachmot Bachutz Tarona, wisdoms in the outskirts, they will reverberate, you'll hear their melody. Again, Solomon says, wisdom, you'll hear their melody in the outskirts. Berchovos, on the streets. Titin Kola, wisdom will give her voice. So wisdom will reverberate in the outskirts. Bachutz Tarona, in the streets she'll give her voice. Berosh Homios Tikra, at the head of a large crowd, she will call. Bepischei Sharon, these are the entrances to the cities. But here, in the city, Amareha Tomer, she'll say her words. So King Solomon says, wisdom will let its voice be heard in the outskirts. She will give her voice to the streets, at the heads of masses of people, at the entrances to the city, she will scream. And in the city, she will say her words. So the Gaon points out that there are really four stages here to wisdom. There's wisdom in the outskirts. Then it reverberates, Tarona. There's wisdom in the streets. She gives her voice. There's wisdom at the head of a large multitude, at the gate of the city, where she calls. And finally, there's wisdom in the city itself, where she says her words. So the Gaon says, every time we hear about wisdom, it's clearly a reference to the Torah. And there are four levels to understanding every point of Torah. There's pshat. Pshat is the simple meaning, the outside meaning. There is remes, there are hints. For example, perhaps it says in the Torah that, I just saw this last night, Yaakov Avinu says when he gets to, he sends a message to Esav, Im Lavan Garti, I've lived with Lavan Va'echar Ad Ata, been late till now. So does anyone remember what Rashi says? What is Im Lavan Garti? What was Yaakov trying to say to Esav? Rashi says Garti has a certain gematria, it's a numeric value. Gimel is 3, Resh is 200, Taf is 400, Yud is 10. So Rashi says Yaakov was saying, I've lived with Lavan. In other words, I've kept the 613 mitzvahs. Is it explicit? No, but it's hinted. That's a hint. Sometimes the Torah hints at various concepts. All sorts of hints. Then there is Drash. Drash is really analysis, interpretation. How could Yaakov say, you know, for example, again going back to the Parshas Vayishlach, it says that Yaakov had two wives who were two sisters. So you might have a whole discussion. How could Yaakov have two wives who are sisters? The Torah tells us in the Midrashim that our forefathers kept the Torah before it was given. According to the Torah, you're not allowed to marry to two wives. So that's drash already. You have a problem, you have a contradiction. You have to resolve it, you have to come up with an answer. Homiletics, you know, there's missing information, but this word is the same as another word somewhere else. That means you connect the two. That's drash. And finally, the fourth part of Torah is the sod. The sod of the secrets of Torah. So the Gra says, and when King Solomon says, wisdom lets her voice, you know, wisdom reverberates in the outskirts. In the streets, you hear her voice. At the heads of multitudes, she calls to you. Inside the city, you hear her words. That's referring to the four aspects of understanding Torah. Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. The literal, the hinted, the interpreted, and the secret. Says the Gaon, King Solomon is sketching for us what their cities used to look like. We have in the Torah, for example, in Parsha Shoftim, the Torah says, Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chal sha'arecha. Have judges and policemen in all of your gates. I mean, a judge in the gate, doesn't the court have a house? Isn't there a courthouse? Well, why the gates? This is the way they used to live. People lived in the city, in a lot of houses, one next to the other, and a wall around the city to protect the city. You didn't do business in the city. Where did you do business? Outside the city. Outside the city, you had farmers who had fields. They would grow things in their fields, and they would come with their produce and their livestock to a large, let's call it, market, which surrounded the wall of the city. And that's where all the business took place. Because otherwise you'd have smelly animals inside the city. It'd be hard to bring food into the city. All the business takes place outside the city. Things grow in the fields. The farmers bring it to the market, which surrounds the wall of the city. And wherever there's business, there's disputes. If there's business, there are arguments. I thought you were selling me for 1 cent a piece. No, I was selling it to you for 2 cents a piece. It disputes. So if there are disputes, the court has to be living
at the gate.
At the gate of the city. So the courts are in the gates of the city, because if there are disputes in the market which surrounds the city, the disputants have to go right away to the court. The court is in the gate. And then beyond the court, you have where the people live, the city itself. Says the Gra, if I'm calling, so I may be standing in the city, and I'm screaming, the people outside the city, all the way out in the fields, all they hear is an echo. They don't really hear what I'm saying, they hear an echo. As a person comes closer, maybe he's in the street right side, outside the city, so he can hear my voice. As he gets into the gate of the city, he can hear me calling to him. He can hear that I'm talking to him. But only when he comes into the city can he actually hear what I'm saying. Can he make out what I'm saying? So the Gra says that's the way it is with Torah too. There are four levels to Torah. What are the four levels? The literal, the hinted, the interpreted, and the secret. The Gra says a person who's very far away from Torah, very alienated from Torah and from Judaism and from holiness, all he can appreciate is the literal. You start talking to him about souls and gematrios and the secrets of Kabbalah, and he looks at you as if you're crazy. He can't appreciate it. He's very far from Torah. So all he can appreciate is the pshat, is the literal meaning. And if all he can take is the literal meaning, so it's like the echoes. It's like the person outside in the fields, far away from the city. But as a person is of a higher spiritual nature, he can already appreciate the hints of Torah. That's like the person who's in the rechov, he's in the market around the city, and he can appreciate the hints. A person gets closer, he'll appreciate not only the hints, but the interpretations, the laws, the halacha, the analysis, and what comes out of that analysis. And if a person is a man of holiness or a woman of holiness, then they can appreciate the secrets of Torah. That's already the essence. That's in the city. The secrets of Torah, that's life itself. Then you're in the city. Says the Gra, everything has a gateway. The gateway to analysis, says the Gra, is the literal. The way I get to analysis, the way I get to halacha, is first through pshat. Because after all, how do I come to using analysis? It's a problem with the pshat. I have a problem. How can it say that Yaakov married two sisters? But I know that a Jew's not allowed to marry two sisters. I have a problem. I have a problem in the pshat, in the literal. And the problems in the literal lead me to have to come up with the interpreted. I shouldn't say come up with the interpreted, to reveal the interpreted, which is also truth given at Sinai. And then I have halachos. Halachos are found after that type of an analysis. So the Gras says, the doorway to drash, the doorway to interpretation, the doorway to halacha is pshat. And what's the doorway to secrets? The doorway to secrets, the Gras says, is remes, hints. Because the truth is, when you talk about a hint, this is the way I understand it, it's not, it doesn't stand up to scientific rigor. You know, you talk about a gematria, I remember the Ibn Ezra at one point says in his commentary to Rashi, you start talking about gematrios, anything could equal anything. You start talking about, you know, this letter equals 10, and that letter is 6, and that letter is 40, so it's a total 56, and 56 reminds us of, you know, the 56 this, the 56 that, and there are a lot of 56s. How do you know it's these two things going together? Maybe it's many others. Just as an example, some of the gematrios, there's a whole book called Gematri Kon, which has the gematri of each word in Hebrew. You can start to put together all sorts of things. I remember I was at a Sheva Brachos once, and the speaker created their speech from this gematri cone. So the speaker said, the gematri of the Chassan and Kala. The Chassan's name was Mordechai. The Kala's name was Michal. So the gematri of Mordechai and Michal equals Simen Tov u'Mazel Tov. Okay, very nice. And then she said to me afterwards, and by the way, it also equals Get b'mehera, a quick divorce. Because you can put anything together. You start putting words together, it's so broad. There are probably hundreds of words that equal the same number. So you start saying, you know, this word equals that. There's no end. So there's no rigor. So how do you know what's what? How do you know which, what gematria is a true connection? You know it because your heart tells it to you. You have a certain feeling that this is what it is. And that's really the secrets of Kabbalah as well. Because the secrets of Torah, it's not logic. It's what your heart tells you this is truth. Your heart resonates to these ideas. Many times it's very hard to communicate these ideas. It's very hard to explain these ideas. And these ideas are called Sisrei Torah, the contradictions of Torah, the conflicts, the explosions, because the mind can't live with conflicts, but the heart can live with conflicts. So the understanding of the heart, which is what enables me to have hints, leads me to the understanding of the deeper wisdom of Torah. That's what the Gras says. So the Gras says, in this commentary in Mishlei, that pshat leads me to drash, and remez leads me to sod. So I had the privilege of learning from a teacher. His name is Rav Moshe Wolfson. And Rav Wolfson, he likes remez. He likes hints. And the truth is, you could come to a Dvar Torah or a certain concept, a certain principle of life in different ways. You could come to it through pshat, you can come through it through drash, you can come through it through a halacha. Rav Soloveitchik, when he used to give his drasha, so he knew a lot of Kabbalah as well, but he used to like to get to the concept through halacha. So as an example, I saw this morning, he was talking about this week's parsha. We have the mitzvah of tzitzis in this week's parsha. So the mitzvah of tzitzis, we know, really is to have white strings and blue strings. So there's a whole discussion. How many, we know we're supposed to have 8 strings. How many of the 8 is supposed to be blue? The Rambam says 1. The Ravid says 2. Tosfos says 4. Well, that's an argument in halacha. When I put on my tcheles, if I were to have tcheles, how many of the strings have to be 1 or 2 or 4? Different opinions. So if Soloveitchik said, what does this teach us? He said, white is that which we understand. Things that are clear to us. Blue, the symbol of that which is beyond our understanding. Things that we don't understand. Things that we don't know. Blue is beyond our understanding. There's white and there's blue. And so if Soloveitchik suggested that the idea is sometimes in life we understand a lot, And there's only a little bit that we don't understand. Sometimes there's a lot that we don't understand. Sometimes there's even more that we don't understand. So the white and the blue represent these concepts. And it's a Jew has to know that as I go through life, sometimes there's less that I understand. Sometimes there's more that I understand. So he gets to a certain principle that I should go through life with faith. In different ways, he got to it through halacha.
Sorry, Rabbi.
That's okay.
Do you want to have 20 or 30 bucks to lend me?
So, you know, there are different ways how a person can get to a halacha. Some might get to it through a hint. Others might get to it through halachos. So, Rav Wolfson always gets to his lessons through hints. That's how he gets to it. He's a person of a lot of heart. So he gets to it through hints. So let's see what he says here in Parsha Shlach. It's not so much the hints and the process as much as the principle of what he's teaching to us. On page Kuf Lamed Zayin, it says in this week's Parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu tells 12 men, 12 leaders, to go to the land of Israel and to scout it out, to see, is it a strong land? Is it a weak land? Are the people there confident? Are they afraid? Interesting thing, this is just as a matter of politics, as an aside. Moshe says, see if the people are strong or weak. See if they're living in cities with fortifications or in cities with no fortifications. So which city would you say is the strong city? The city with fortifications. But what he really meant was the city without fortifications is the strong city. In other words, a city where people are confident and are strong, no one's willing to start up with them. So they don't have fortifications. The city that has fortifications, that's a sign that it's really weak people and they're afraid. And that's why they need to have walls and fences around them. It's the ultimate sign of weakness, the more walls that there are around them. To show strength, you don't have any walls. The enemy should put walls around them, but I don't put around any walls around me. That's a city that's strong. That's what Rashi says, just as an aside. So Moshe sends the spies to check out the land, to see what the land is like. Hechazaku harafeh. And Moshe tells them, Hischazaktem, strengthen yourselves. Ulekachtem ipri haaretz, take some of the fruit of the land. So that's really a question. So difficult to take fruit of the land. Strengthen yourselves, bring back some produce. It's so hard to bring back produce. You have to understand this. And then Moshe, then the Torah says, V'hayamim, and by the way, those days were yimei bikurei anavim. Literally, the days of bikurim, of the first ripening of grapes. The grapes were becoming ripe. These were the days when the grapes were becoming ripe. Let's remember, when did the spies go out? It was this week. A little bit later, next week really. The last day of Sivan. The spies go for 40 days. The month of Tammuz and the 9 days of Av, they go the end of Sivan. So the next week, that's when the spies went out. The days when the grapes are ripe. Why is that necessary to tell us? So let's see what Rav Wolfson says. Page Kuf Lamed Zayin. In Emunah Sitach, Rav Wolfson's book. Says Rav Wolfson, Muvah Me'er Rav Shamshon Astropolia. There was a great Kabbalist, Rav Shamshon of Astropolia, in Poland. He said the following. She'imei hilucha meraglim haya bizman shal shlita sasamachna. When the spies went, it was a time when God was hiding himself. You know, we have a tradition in Judaism that there are times of Hester Panim. God's face is hidden. And it almost looks like that the forces of evil are able to do what they want to do. As if God is not watching. As if God is not interfering. It's a time when you don't see blessing. It looks like evil is ascendant. The Holocaust. That was a time of Hester Panim. God was hiding his face. It's an amazing thing. The Gaon of Vilna said that the psukim in Parshas Nitzavim and Vayelech correspond to the years of the of this hundred. The Gaon says that the parshios, the chumashim of the Torah, each chumash corresponds to 1,000. The Bereishis corresponds to the first 1,000. Shmos, the second 1,000. So this 1,000, we're in the year 5,768 now. So this 1,000 is corresponds to the book of Dvarim. It's the fifth book, the last 1,000. So the Gra points out that each parsha corresponds to a different century within the 1,000. So many commentators point out that the last century was corresponded to the parshios of Nitzavim Vayelach. And in those parshios, you have the pasuk of Anochi Hastir Astir Panai Mehem, I'll hide my face from them. You had the Holocaust during those years. You also have in those parshios, Va'ata Kisvu Lachem Ashira Azos, write down the Torah. Without question, in our history, there's been an unbelievable explosion of Torah printing in our era. You know, just 100 years ago, less, not even 100 years ago, 75 years ago, 80 years ago, they didn't have the amount of books that they had. Today, you know, I'm so spoiled in my home, I probably have 2,000 books, 2,000 Sfarim. When Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, who was the Rosh Yeshiva today of the Mir Yeshiva, when he came to the Mir, he brought with him a Ktzos HaChoshen. It was only the second Ktzos in the whole Yeshiva. I myself have 4 copies of the Ktzos HaChoshen. I mean, I gave 2 away already, but I had 4. It's been an unbelievable explosion of printing Sfarim, because it says, Va'ata Kisvu Lachem HaShir Azos, in this century. That's what the Gra says.
You could argue that you see the face of Hashem more than ever before also. Okay. You see the state of Israel.
Absolutely.
You see more it was Kabbalah
hidden.
Now.
Good, right. Before, so. Absolutely. So it was hidden. There was only one pasuk. You have Parshas Nitzavim and Vayelech. You have a lot of other pesukim. So but that pasuk was fulfilled, and other pesukim are being fulfilled. The Gra said that each year corresponds to one pasuk. So in a time of Hester Panim, as it were, we don't see the Almighty. And it almost looks like the forces of the opposite of holiness are ruling. Almost as if there is another force, and that force is being allowed to do what he wants. And that's always a big challenge, to have faith when it's hard to see God, to have faith when it looks like the forces of evil are powerful. It's very, very hard. So Reb Shamshon of Astropolia said, that's what happened to the spies. The spies go, what happened to these people? These were great people. These were giants. These were the leaders of the generation. Each one was a leader of his tribe. How could they commit such a sin? They were challenged with Hester Panim. They were challenged with suddenly not seeing God. They were challenged with a great darkness, with a lack of spirituality, with almost, it looked like the forces of evil could do whatever they wanted. It's a great challenge. That's what he said. These days are your bizman shall shlita sasamachmen. It was when the force of evil, it almost seemed, was ruling. It was the month of Tammuz and the beginning of the month of Av. After all, they left on the eve of the month of Tammuz, and they come back on Tisha B'Av. V'zehu, and that's the meaning of v'hayamim yimei bikurei anavim. These are the days of Bikurei Anavim. Bikurim means the first. So what comes first to the word Anavim? Look at the letters that come before Ayin, Nun, Beis, Mem. What's the letter before Ayin in the list of the Aleph's? Samach. And the letter before Nun? And the letter before Beis? And the letter before Mem? Lamed. Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. That's the name of the angel who doesn't do good things. Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. These are the days of before Anavim. That's what Reb Shamshon of Astropolia says. That's the secret. It's a strange pasuk, telling us it's the days when the grapes are ripening. You say, no, it's a hint. These are the days of the letters that come before Ayin, Nun, Beis, Mem. These are the days of S-A-T-A-N. These are the days of evil. These are the days of the force of Samach, Mem, Aleph, Lamed. These are the days of Hester Punim. That explains the whole story. That's the whole Parsha. The whole Parsha is that the spies sinned. How could they sin? These were giants. Because these were the days when God was hidden. That's what Rav Shamshon of Astropolia says. So here Rav Wolfson says a very obvious question. What does the Pasuk actually say? Aleph, Nun, Beis, Yud, Mem. So if you're going to use the logic of Rav Shamshon of Astropolia, these are the days of Samach, Mem, Aleph, Tes, Lamed. That means nothing. That's a nonsense word. Well, what's his whole hint? What's he teaching us? If his hint is correct, that the Torah is teaching us that these were the days of great darkness, days of the force of evil was ascendant, and because God was hidden, that's why the spies failed. So then why does the Torah throw in the letter Yud here? Why is the letter Yud here?
Yud is Hashem's name, and it's hidden.
Right.
It's taken away.
Ah, very good, very good. Beautiful. That's what Wolfson's going to suggest. Absolutely. So let's see the next paragraph. Va'inyan, the idea is, Ki yamim eile, these days, hem yimei koshi ba'abdus Hashem. The days that we're coming to, the days of the summer, these are the days when it's hard to serve God. It's hard. It's challenging. Yimei adin, and these are days of judgment. Shlita sasamach mem, when unfortunately evil seems to be ascendant, right? After all, last summer, the whole war started on Shivasa B'Tamuz. It was the war of the 3 weeks. It started during these days. Leiv nistami lahargish ha'ara, and the heart is closed, doesn't feel inspiration. Here's the hit, here's the secret. The deeper the darkness, the greater the light. If it's a day of difficulty, that means that underneath it, there is a spectacular light. The light is so great that the darkness has to cover it. Any time that seems to be a time when God is hidden, really God is the closest then. But He's hidden because He's so close, you can't. If He'd reveal Himself, it would be too much. So it's hidden. But really He's the closest. Lu'umase, corresponding to the fact that it's a day of darkness, that it's times when God seems to be hiding His face. Gadol ha'or ha'mustar behem. There's an unbelievable light hidden there. What's the proof? Kidachazinan. These days, we know, we see. La'asid yishapchu yamin elu v'sasun l'sebcha. The prophet, prophet Zechariah predicts that these days, the day of Tammuz, the days of Av, are going to be celebration. They're going to be holidays. The truth is, they're going to be the biggest holidays. They're going to be the holidays of Mashiach. The Chassam Sofer figured out, based on a whole calculation, that Rus was impregnated by Boaz on the 17th of Tammuz. So we know the 17th of Tammuz as a sad day, the day when the walls of Jerusalem were breached, when the destruction of Jerusalem entered into its final stages. But really the 17th of Tammuz was the day that Rus was impregnated, the beginning of the birth of Mashiach. The soul of Mashiach that was in Boaz and in Rus came together. And we know the 9th of Av is the day when Hashem burnt down the Beis HaMikdash. But really our tradition tells us that Mashiach is born on the 9th of Av. So when Mashiach will come, the 17th of Tammuz, it's going to be an unbelievable Yom Tov. It's going to be a celebration. It's going to be the time when we celebrate the beginning of the light of Mashiach. And the 9th of Av is going to be a happier day than any other day in our calendar. It's going to be the day of the birth of Mashiach. In other words, these days really have the light of Mashiach in them. These are very, very holy days. very exalted days. Because the world's not yet deserving, they're covered. This light is covered. And if that light will be revealed when Mashiach will come, that means it's there now too. It's just hidden now. And we can reveal it also. We can uncover this unbelievable, precious light. This spectacular, spectacular light. The light of the coming of Mashiach. And that's what we need to work on during this time. It says Rav Wolfson, to read it inside. Achlu Maset. It's true, it's a day of darkness. It's a day of Samach Mem, of the angel of death. But Gadol Ha'or Amuster Behem. There's a tremendous light hidden in them. Kirchazin, and we know, Shalom Asin in the future, Yishapchu Yamam Eilu L'Sasun L'Simcha. These are going to be days of joy. Kamavur B'Svar Makdoshim. The holy books teach us, Sheyimei Bein HaMetzarim Yuyula Asin Yamam Tov Magvon B'Yoser. That the 3 weeks in the future are going to be the greatest holidays. Vehem Yimei Leidus Mashiach. These are the days of the birth of Mashiach. B'Tishabav Nolad Mashiach. And the ninth of Mashiach is born. In the Chassam Sofer he explains, and on the 17th of Tammuz, that's when Boaz and Ruth got married and Ruth was impregnated. And the Svar Makdoshim say that when Aaron says about the Egel, Chag LaHashem Machar, a celebration for God tomorrow, he was really referring to the fact that tomorrow, the 17th of Tammuz, is spiritually a day of celebration, because it's the day of the beginning of the birth of Mashiach, when Ruth and Boaz get married. Therefore, says Rav Wolfson, Valkain, and therefore, Yesh lihisyageya biyamim elu. These days, these are the times to work, to learn Torah. You know what? It's hard to learn Torah during the summer. There are a lot of distractions. We get home, we want to sit outside at the pool and relax, drink a martini. It's all good. But these are days when we can get unbelievable lights. We can reveal the lights of Mashiach during these days. These are the days when we should come home and learn a little bit with our children. Learn for a couple of minutes with our children. Learn a little Torah. Read them stories of Torah and mitzvot. These are days to push ourselves. You know, you walk around in the streets in the city. Ay, 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 Hashem should save us from what's going on in the streets in the city during these days. It's terrible. It means there's an unbelievable light to push ourselves to learn Torah during these days. V'avoda, to serve Hashem. V'galos ha'or atzafun b'hem, and to reveal the hidden light that's in these days. That's why, what does Moshe say? The Jewish people said, V'yachperu lanu es ha'aretz. So we translated they should scout out the land. But what does the word chafira literally mean? To dig. You have to dig during these days. During these days you have to dig. Because when you dig, you go underneath the surface. During these days we need to go underneath the surface and find the inner good. Al-Yidei Chafira Efsha Limtzor Sa'or. When we search and we dig, we can find the light. It's great, great. One of the great Hasidic masters was the Kuznetzer Magid, Yisrael of Kuznets. One of the founders of the great lights of Hasidus in Poland. Many great Hasidic masters in Poland are students of his, descendants of his. Yavodas Yisrael, the Kuznetzer Magid, writes in Eicha, Jeremiah cries, he says, Kol rodfei hisigua, all those who ran after Jerusalem conquered her. Bein HaMitzarim, between the straits, between these 2 points, between Shivasar and Tammuz, 17th of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, all those running after her conquered her. The first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, both were destroyed during this season. So he said, there's another meaning. Kol Rodfeha doesn't mean all those who chased after her, who chased after Jerusalem. Divide the word. Rodef, what's the last two letters? Ka. All those who chase after God, Hisiguha, find God during this time between the 2 points, between the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av. That's when you can find God. If you run after God now, if you chase God now, if you work hard because it's harder, then you can really discover God. You can discover God when it's hard, when you push yourself.
She'elu arod v'mimtzo ashchina, those who are chasing the divine presence, yecholim lahasiga b'imei bein ha-mitzarim, you can find God during this time, during this between this point. It's the unbelievable, unbelievable time. It says with Wolfson, it's interesting that everybody goes on vacation during this time. Everybody's traveling. Everyone's going somewhere. Going this place, going that place. This is this Parsha Shlach, sending away. Really, sending away means to be sent away on a mission. Shlach is to go on a shlichus, to go on a mission. Everybody's going on a mission. The mission that we have, obviously, is to fix the spies. The spies went on a trip during these days. They came back with negative words about the land of Israel. And during these days, we also are sent out on a mission. And Moshe Rabbeinu is telling each one of us, His chazaktem, be strong. Now's the time to be strong, to serve God, to look hard, to try to find God. It's maybe Kuri Anavim. It's the days of the opposite. And inside this you have a Yud. Because the Yud is from God's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's hinting that we have to transform the days from being the days of the forces of evil to being days where we see God. Days where we find God. The Kabbalists teach that each month has an acronym, has a different arrangement of God's letters to talk about that month. So for example, the month of Nisan is represented by the letters Yud, He, Vav, He. What is the representation of the month of Tammuz? The representation of the month of Tammuz is He, Vav, He, Yud. The name of God backwards. He, Vav, He, Yud. Where does it come from? It comes from the Pasuk in Megillas Esther, where Haman said, V'chol zeh, Einenu shoveli. Zeh, the last letter in Zeh is Hey. The last letter in Einenu, Vav. The last letter in Shoveh, Hey. The last letter in Li is Yud. It's Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud. So why did God choose to hint the month of Tammuz in Megillas Esther? Because what's Megillas Esther all about? The Nahapachu, to transform it, to turn it all about, turn about. It's all about a transformation. Because the month of Tammuz also is a time when we should transform it. It's a time of challenging spiritually. It's a time of difficulty when it's hard to be dedicated. It's the time when we should transform it. We should work hard. This chazaktem, find the Almighty. Push ourselves to find the Almighty, to get close to God, to be there with Him. It's the days of grapes. Listen to the prophet Hosea. Ka'anavim b'midbar matzasi es Yisrael. The prophet Hosea says, like grapes in the middle of the wilderness, that's how I find the Jewish people. God, it's like a person who's starving and he's hungry and he's thirsty, and in the middle of the wilderness he finds grapes. What joy. God says, when redemption comes, you're not expecting it, and suddenly I found you. Oh, you're beautiful. You looked terrible yesterday, but right now God says to us, you're beautiful. You're grapes, you're wonderful. That's what this month is all about. This is the month that we're supposed to be like grapes. We're supposed to reveal how we're really beautiful to God. How God should say, it's a wilderness. It's filled with challenges. It's filled with the opposite of serving God. But, you're so beautiful to me. You're so wonderful to me. These are the days when God says that the Jews are so special. An amazing thing in the Midrash. The Midrash says that the spies, they brought back this huge cluster of grapes. The Midrash says that out of that cluster of grapes, the Jews made wine, and that wine was used to pour it on the Mizbeach, to pour it on the altar in Yerushalayim. From the wine of the cluster of grapes that these spies brought. Here the spies brought these grapes, and they were saying that therefore they didn't want to enter the land of Israel. And that those grapes themselves ended up being used in the land of Israel. God fixed the item of their sin. God was fixing the sin of the spies. That's what all of us have to do during this time. We have to fix fix this sin of the spies. These are days that are really very, very precious days, very holy days. And because they're so holy, because there's so much that can be accomplished, that's why it's so challenging. The greater the challenge, the greater the light that can be achieved, the greater the light that can be revealed. Looking to the second column here on page Kuf Lamed Ches, the second page. Unbelievable words said by the Ma'orei Nayim. Ma'orei Nayim is the nobler Rebbe that I twisted. The ancestor of the Svera Rebbe and the Belzer Rebbe. So listen to what the Ma'orei Nayim says. Yesh, this is in the second column, it's the second paragraph. Yesh levar inyin yamim elu shel tamuz ba'av. Rav Wolfson says, when we want to get ready to try to serve God during the forthcoming month of Tammuz and Av, let's remember the words of the Ma'orei Nayim in Parshas Vayetze, on the Pasuk Vayetze Yaakov. The Zelo Shona, this is what he says. Hinei noda, you should know. Ki masha atzadik ovid Hashem Yisbarach Baruch Hu. A tzadik serves God. Ayudei achiyus v'amochin shenosam lo milamal. Tzaddik wants to serve God. God grants to the tzaddik life. God gives the tzaddik unbelievable understandings, inspiration, insight, illumination. It comes from heaven. Each person, how much he can comprehend of the reality of God in this world. How much godliness he can find. That's how God limits himself to that person. Say there's a person who can find a certain amount of godliness in the world. He's trying to do it. So God reveals himself to that person in that level. Hey, to make it practical. Maybe there's one person at Tzaddik who he's a terrific guy in terms of getting things done. It's amazing. You need something done, you ask him to do it, he says he'll do it, he does it. Every detail, he focuses, drills down till it's done. Now he wants to serve God, he wants to find God. So he prays, God, please allow me to find you. So God might send mitzvos to this person. The person gets involved in mitzvahs, and he actually gets all sorts of things done to serve Hashem. Helps poor people, arranges shiurim, he gets all sorts of things done, and he feels this tremendous spirituality in getting things done. God has limited himself, as it were, into this realm of being practical and getting things done to help this person. Somebody else, he never gets anything done. It's not who he's like. He's a big thinker. So he prays to God, I want to find you, God. So God might grant that person great understanding. And he finds God in understanding. That's God's gift to him. God limits himself into understanding so that you should find God in understanding. Listen to what the Ma'orei Nayim says. The achar kach kishaholich b'zeh madrega zman. The tzaddik is on a certain level for a period of time. He's into understanding. And Hashem blessed him. He's understanding so much in the Kabbalah and in the Zohar. It's amazing. Then suddenly, mistalkin min tzaddik b'chinas elokus shenitztamtem etzlo. Suddenly he doesn't find God in the learning. Or the person who was finding God through getting things done, suddenly when he's getting things done, it's not spiritual at all. He's not finding God at all there. He doesn't feel anything. So what happened? Says the Ma'orei Nayim, why? B'chidei sheyischazik yitzatzmo. The reason why God does this is so that the tzaddik will push himself lavo el madrega yoser gedola, to come to an even higher level. Maybe I was finding God by giving tzedakah. And suddenly, it's not there anymore. It's not there anymore. I'm not finding God by giving tzedakah anymore. It's not. I'm not so sure that I'm giving to people who deserve. I'm not feeling anything. It's not there anymore. You know what?
God took it away, took away the feeling, because now I need to reach God in an even higher level. It's not enough now to give tzedakah. Now I need to give tzedakah and also counsel the people who are getting the tzedakah to help them spend it the right way. You know, I need to reach a higher level of serving God now, even more. And that's why God has to take it away. Ki kol zman shu b'madrega zos. Because when I'm on a certain level, eino yachol lavo l'madrega yoseh gedola me'acha shabachina ha'im l'upeshes bo. I can't get to a higher level because I am in this level. I'm attached to this level. Umachmas rigiluso, and when I'm used to it, eino roa shum b'china acheres shelamala mimenu. I don't see anything higher. Because the nature of routine is that I stick with routine. Routine is very important. I have to get into certain habits. It's very important to have a routine. Otherwise I can't grow. So maybe I'm going to decide that I'm going to work on myself. That I'm going to be a person who's going to greet everybody who comes to my door nicely. That's what I'm going to work on myself. It's hard for me. I'm going to work on myself. So I do it. Everybody who comes gets a smile, gets a cup of water. It doesn't matter. Fellow is nice, not nice. Treat everybody nicely. I get used to it. And I find God. After a struggle, I feel, you know what, this is service to God. And you know what's going to happen? Then I'm going to lose it. I'm not going to feel that this is service to God anymore. Because now God is telling me it's time for me to do more than that. To do that plus more. And if God wouldn't take away the feeling, I'd be satisfied just with doing that level, whatever that level is. It's a wonderful level. But I'd be satisfied with that level. And I have to know that in life, you have to keep growing. Now I need to do something higher. So God takes it away, takes away the feeling. When this level is taken away, Tzadik knows he has to get closer to God. Now that I've lost my level, I need to climb. And because of this arousal, I'm arousing myself. And here's another point. When God takes away what He's given to me, so I feel terrible. And I want to be close to God, so I start pushing myself, and I arouse tremendous strength. When I arouse tremendous strength, that arouses from heaven even more help. Now God helps me even more. Kviso Ruso, the more I push myself, the more God is going to help me. Kanoda. Kikomoshi Usorusu Lamilamata, the more I arouse myself below, Kachnasora Lamawa. Vaz Bala Madrega Yosa Gadola, then you come to an even higher level. So the Mare Nayim says, in life, we reach a certain level, we get used to it, then God takes away the feeling, so that now we'll start climbing to a higher level. And we'll feel bad that we lost the feeling, and because we feel bad, we start pushing ourselves deeply. And when we push ourselves deeply, God gives us a lot of strength. And when God gives us a lot of strength and a lot of help, God puts us to another level. That's the months of Tammuz and Av. It's the months of challenge. Hayamim, you may be kurei anavim. The spies didn't know how to deal with the challenge. It was a challenge. Suddenly, God is hidden. So they stopped. They gave up. And we have to fix that. We go out on our missions, on our travels. We have to fix it. We need to find the godliness, the yud, in the anavim. When we lose inspiration, when we're challenged, we need to push ourselves harder. We need to climb to a new level, to a higher level. When we do that, we fix the spies, and hopefully we'll merit that these days will become days of joy.
Man.
Beautiful. The worst thing that you could fall back.
It's a challenge to fall back. To push up.